hearty good day, good morning, and hello. Welcome to the Native Broadcast Network, to the Native Guy Show. I am your host, the Native Guy. You can call me Russell or the Native Guy, whatever. Anyways, we hope you're having a great day. We hope you had a great past weekend. I know I did. I'm a little rough with my voice this weekend as I was singing hard at a powwow. Boy, howdy. If you ain't been to a powwow, you're missing out. It's one of the greatest things that you can, you know, enjoy and eat some great food, eat some fried bread, or you can go and listen to some great music and watch some good dancing. But you know what? Today we're not going to talk about the powwow. We're going to talk about something pretty interesting, something that can help you in the business world if you're out there. Because you know what? Storytelling is something that's fun. We've all know and heard stories growing up, and maybe families tell stories of their history, of how they passed on generations of traditions and knowledge to each other. As I know in my tribe, we passed down oral knowledge of our history. But today we're kind of going to talk about storytelling in a different sense, one that goes with your business to help it grow. You know, we're living in an economic world where we want to grow our business, and a story, a good story, is, as a matter of fact, good for you and for the business. And I want to tell a little story here about somebody who learned, or the importance of what a story can do for you and the business and helping it grow. You know, Charlie Steinmetz, a long time ago, this is for one of Henry Ford's engineers, he designed their generators for their assembly line a long time ago. And they're in Michigan. And after he retired, Charlie Steinmetz retired from the Ford factories, the generators started stalling out. They started not working right. And all of a sudden, Ford couldn't make all their cars anymore. So the engineers of the Ford company, well, basically they couldn't figure anything out. So Henry Ford decided, well, we better give old Charlie a call. Let's call him. And so here comes Charlie. He comes back in and he's walking through the assembly line. You know, he's the one who designed it and figured it out and made it work. So he comes in and he starts fiddling with a few gauges here. He'll go over and he'll jiggle a lever over here on one of the lines. He'll go and push a couple buttons down the line and play with a few wires somewhere through there. And a couple hours later, after he's doing all this stuff, he goes and throws the switch, and lo and behold, the generators start right up. The system's great. Everything's running, returns back to normal, and Ford is able to go and continue building. Well, a couple days later, Henry Ford got a nice little bill in the mail from Charlie. It was a $10,000 bill. And, well, Henry Ford didn't like the price of that bill. And you know what? He found it excessive because he said, you didn't do anything but fiddle with a few gauges and jiggle a few levers and everything like that. And, well, okay, Charlie says, all right, well, here, let me come back. And Charlie comes back with a different letter, or he sends in a different bill, and he goes, here's your new bill. And Henry Ford looks at it, and he says, well, what's this? So he gets charged $10 for tinkering with the motors, and he gets charged $9,990 for knowing where to tinker. So you know what the moral is? You got to know how to tinker like nobody else, like Charlie did. You got to be able to tell your story like Charlie did. Explore your extract, and he tinkered his talent of building that line. And our guest today, he's going to do just that. He's going to tell us about his new great book that he's got out today. I don't know if you've looked at it or had a chance to see it. It's on the Blog Talk Radio Network on our promos. It's How to Tell Effective Stories for Your Business. Our author is Dennis Claus. He's a storyteller. He joins after releasing his book, The Power of Effective Stories. He's a member of the Algonquin tribe who grew up on the Tuscarora, I hope I say that, Indian reservation there in western New York. His Indian name is Sagaloli. He speaks to the people. I hope I pronounced that right as well. And he is from the Raven Clan. So we're going to bring Dennis on, and we're going to find out what the purpose of a good story is and how can it be helpful for the business. And we welcome you, Dennis, to the Native Broadcast Network. How are you today, sir?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me on. I'm all excited.
I am so excited you're here. How has it been going with this new book that you got? It's such a great, great release. Tell us a little bit about yourself, too.
I'm having a wonderful time. I'm getting interviews every day. I love signing autographs. I go places. I get to do speaking engagements. I just absolutely love it.
That's great. And so let's learn a little bit about you, Dennis. Let's let our listeners and those who are listening in and those who are seeing this book for the first time, what can they know about you? As like I say, we've got a pretty good promo of you, and boy, you've got a nice traditional regalia on there. It's beautiful. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks. I'm a third-generation storyteller. I used to travel with my grandmother to powwows, and when she put out her stuff for sale, she would always tell me, she says, the people don't necessarily want the item. They want the story that goes with it. And there was many different stories for each one of the items. And you wouldn't tell the same story to a person that's 50 as you would for somebody that's 16. The stories had to be vastly different and had to be tailored to them. So I used to learn that you would plant an idea and a feeling in them once they heard that story. My grandmother was great at it. That's where I started. Well, where I started learning.
So that's interesting, as you said that. You had to plant that idea. So that idea must have been planted in you early in your life. As you said, you're a third-generation storyteller. Wow. So tell us about that. What does that entail, being a storyteller?
Well, for where I grew up, we do shows and powwows and gatherings, and the storyteller is the one that comes out and sits around with the children. And we'll be in our regalia, and we'll have a bag, a leather bag with a bunch of little items inside there, a button, a rock. It could be a stick or a cotton ball or all these different items. And you ask the children, you shake the bag up, and you ask them to pick one thing out of the bag and hand it to me. And then they reach inside, and they pick the one thing out, and they go, oh, that's a good story. Each one of the things in the bag is a story. So you let the children decide the story, and so they feel part of it, and you tell them a wonderful stories, all set up ready for them. That's how I started learning, because that's what our storyteller used to, how I used to learn.
So that is neat. So I imagine you've heard a lot of stories in your life. What were some of the biggest influences that said, hey, you know, maybe we can go a little bit further with this, and this is this the kind of the process that you got into as you started deciding, well, let's put this into a little book?
Yes. Well, the first time I got to help somebody was a buddy of mine. He had a car shop that fixed cars, and I was visiting him, and he was telling me that why he has a car shop. Why he fixed cars, because when he was a kid, he was about 15, his mother bought her car to the shop, and they said it was going to cost her this much, but they charged her double the price, and they had to literally go without until she got her next paycheck so she could have a car to go back and forth to work. So he said, when I get older, I'm going to fix cars, and I'm never, ever, ever going to cheat a woman and make her pay for my money for things that she don't need. So that's what he did. I told him, that's a beautiful story. You should write that down. So I helped him write out a little story on a little piece of paper. So when he handed in his invoice, the bill, there was a little story on there for people to read. Well, that got taken out, and people liked the story a little bit here, a little bit there, and it got picked up by a newspaper, and the newspaper did a big write-up on him. Now he's got more business than he can handle from a simple little story.
That's awesome, and that kind of goes along. I want to share with you an article that I found, because it goes right along with that story that you just, or that topic you're just telling, as we're talking about storytelling. And it's from the Harvard Business Review .org, and it asks why your brain loves good storytelling. It's a great article, and it tells you that the neurobiology of storytelling, it's relevant to business settings. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. You can leverage trust from other people telling your story. Even if they don't know you, when they come to you, you're gaining the trust of the person that told them the stories. If you tell a nice story about your business and they tell somebody else, they effectively take their trust from their friend because they already trust them, and it lands on you. So it helps you in business.
That is so relevant, because it goes right along with what the article says. It says the guy who wrote the article, let me get his name here, Paul J. Zak, and this is back in October of last year, he brought out that stories are useful inside organizations, and people are substantially more motivated by the organization's purpose. And is that the key thing of why the business could use storytelling to help them, especially nowadays? You know, you don't just start a business and not tell a story, because when you're first starting out, how do you get that? How do you incorporate a story? Because it's something I guess some business might have, or they have to just be able to build?
Okay, well, there's two ways that I like to help people with it, they understand is, the first thing is I learned it from a car salesman. I was at the car lot, and I'm waiting, and I have my guard up, waiting for him to sell me, and he walks up and he goes, "Hey," I says, "Hello." He says, you look like a smart person. Let me tell you why I work here." I says, "Why you work here?" And then he told me a story. See, then my guard went down. Because he told me why people go to that car lot. And the story was very interesting, and I liked it. And by me letting my guard down, I actually bought a car from him because I trusted him more. But that's one ways to start it off, was simply by telling about not about himself, but about the company and why he got a job there.
That's really interesting, because that's something that the Yale School of Management also brings out too, you know, is how can we transform the norm of what it means to do business? And that's kind of the things you're teaching, correct? Changing the norm is telling
absolutely
stories.
Absolutely.
And what are other ways? Because I imagine when you told that first story, that when you heard the reaction, it's kind of like music. You know, music can move you in certain ways, and a story could move you. So when you got the action from your friend who told the story about the car and how he, and then it got picked up, did it move you even more?
Absolutely. I didn't think of it as a business. See, growing up, my dream was to be a storyteller. But the problem is, when I got about 18 or 19, I said, there's no business in storytelling. So I became an ironworker, like my father and my cousins and uncles. And now that I'm older and I'm writing books and being a motivational speaker, I'm living my dream of being a storyteller. I absolutely love it.
So what are some ways that you help people be able to basically tell their story? What are some ways that you try to help them? Do they have to figure out, hey, I need to do a little research on my business? Or are there ways? As your book, it brings out these ways, and we just want to kind of get your take on how they can get started, or basically what are, because, you know, people are wanting to know, how can a good story help our business?
It's easy as telling us, like I said, telling a story about the business, or you could tell a story about a different salesperson and how they're the salesperson of the year, and you really respect them and you like their ethics, and that's why you're modeling yourself after them. And you're, like as I said, you're not blowing yourself up saying, I'm this, I'm that. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes to be sold to, but people like to hear stories, especially if a story, I always explain it to somebody when the guy was telling me about the car lot. When he was telling me the car, he gave me, you could say that it had air conditioning, it had radial tires, and it was trying to tell me that, but he didn't tell me that. He says, it's got a new air conditioning system that means if you get stuck in traffic, guess what? The mileage doesn't take more gas. So you can have the air conditioner on and be comfortable. When with all the all-season radios, you won't need tires for 2 years, so that's going to save you a lot of money. And then he was going on about all the things the car. He wasn't telling me things about the car. He was telling me things that will help with the car. So when you're telling the story about your business, the question is, what I always say is, when I'm trying to make a story or tell a story, I'm not trying to tell them what benefits they get. I use the words, so that you can. And then your benefits, instead of, it's the air conditioner. No, it's so that you can be stuck in traffic with the air conditioner on. It's not you got new tires. It's so that you can not have to buy new tires for at least a year.
So you also talk about the formulas that you bring out in your book. How can they bring it? Because you make a really great point. It says you want everything to be relevant. So how do these story formulas that you bring out in the book work?
Okay, well, there's different types of stories. You know, the story of your business, how you got started, why you worked there, what's the best techniques or sales techniques. But the simplest story is the beginning, the middle, and the end. Is the person, the product, or the thing? And then what is the problem? And then one of the ending is the solution. What is the solution? The man had he fixed cars, and he wouldn't, and people get ripped off by car lots, by women get picked up, ripped off by car repair shops, his solution was never ever to rip off a woman. It was a simple story, beginning, middle, and end.
And it's just that, and it's just like that, you know. It's not going to take a lot of thought. You just need to make it relevant, correct? It's
very
like,
yes,
very
relevant.
And that's the key, is making relevance. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who we're talking to, our guest today is Dennis Clough. He is from the Algonquin tribe up in, he's in Niagara Falls, New York. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we are happy that he is joining us today. We have been talking about his exciting new book, The Power of Effective Stories. And Dennis has been elaborating with us about why stories are really good for us and for your business. And so, Dennis, what was the inspiration to mainly try to get this book out as you were putting it together? What were some of the things that were helping inspire you write this book?
Well, I do powwows and I travel a lot, and I have a story that when I find people that are down, not doing too good, because not all powwows, people won't be making money, I try to tell them a nice, inspiring story. So I found a really beautiful story, and I go and I share it with people, and it cheers them up, and it gets them excited again. And the story is at the end, it's like how to have, even when you have nothing, you still have something.
Yeah, very key. Very key, because from what I've known and what I've researched, you know, and you elaborate in there that a story actually is, there's a big percentage on it. Do you remember that percentage that a story does or helps a person?
It's 22 times more memorable than a fact alone.
There you go. 22 times more. And that is the key thing. And so, how did that make you feel as a storyteller that, hey, this is really actually more relevant today?
Oh, it's so appealing, because since I like to help businesses, I do speaking, I do motivational speaking and different shows. And I like to start off with a simple story. And I would like to share that story with you, if you don't mind.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. On a beautiful summer morning, in an Indian village, there was a little girl. And this little girl was playing, as children do. And she noticed something that the other children didn't notice. She noticed all the grown-ups were just a little bit busier than usual. And as inquisitive as she was, she had to go ask. And she went and found her mother, and she says, why is everybody so busy? Her mother tells her, oh, little one, you see, there's a man that had gotten medicine from the Creator. We call him Songwe Diso. Songwe Diso has given him this medicine, and he's coming to our village to trade somebody for this medicine. And whoever gets this trade gives it to the people. It is a great honor. But little one, we are poor. We have nothing to trade. That is why I am helping out with the great feast we're going to have after. And I want you just try to stay out of the grown-ups' ways, okay? The little girl nods her head. She starts to walk away, and this little one is just can't get it out of her head. She wants to be the one to help her tribe so much. She wishes she had something, anything. So she starts to pray. She says, oh, Songwe Diso, would you please help me? I want to be the one that makes this trade and give this medicine to my people. But I am poor. I do not even have a doll like the other little girls. Songwe Diso, would you please help me get something to trade? And then she hears something. Something soft and gentle and beautiful. It was a voice. But it wasn't on the outside. It was on the inside. And it simply said, go to the woods. Startled, she says, Songwe Diso? So she says, okay. And she walks from the village to the beginning of where the woods start. And then she stops. And then she hears the voice then again say, go to the east side of the tree and break off a limb. So she says, okay, Songwe Diso. So she walks over to the east side of the tree. And there's only one branch on that side. And she's so small, she's reaching up and barely reaching. She's reaching. She finally gets to the little part. She pulls it down as far as she could and snaps off a small twig, probably about a foot long. And then she hears the voice again says, now break off the other end and peel off the bark and lay it in the sun to dry. She says, okay, Sungwadiso. So she snaps it off and has a piece about 8 inches long. And she takes off all the bark on this little twig. And she goes out into the sun and lays it out. And every once in a while she's touching it and rolling it around, making sure it's drier. Finally, it's dry to the touch. And then she picks up this stick. And then she looks up and she says, okay, Sungwadiso. Now what do I do? Sungwadiso. Sungwadiso. She hears nothing. Not knowing what to do, she looks over at the pathway where the people are lined up to make the trade. So she walked over, and being as small as she was, she could walk right past everybody and got to the front of the line where the people were lined up on the path. And she looked down on her left. She could see the first person that had offers for the trade. It was two beautiful horses. One was all black, and the other one was white with brown patches, a painted pony. Beautiful animals. The next person with their offer was the basket maker. Oh, there were so many baskets. Baskets are sought after. Baskets for ceremony, baskets for fishing, baskets for berries, and just absolutely beautiful baskets. And the next person for trade had beautiful beadwork. Oh, such beautiful beadwork. Beautiful vests and cuffs and earrings and necklaces. All this beautiful beadwork. The closest thing you can compare this beadwork to would be a sunset. It was absolutely beautiful. And she looks down and all she has is a stick. So she reaches down and grabs her dress and rips off a piece of this cloth, her cloth dress, and simply lays the cloth down and puts the stick down for her offer for trade. And then she hears, he's here, he's here. And she looks to her left down the path and she's just a regular man. She thought it was going to be a great warrior or a big chief or somebody. And he was simply just a man with a small bag on his side. And he walks up and he sees the first person with the horses. And he smiles and he nods his head and he pets the horses. As he's talking to the man, he nods his head and walks away. And then he gets to the second offering for trade. And it was the basket maker. As he looks down, he had tears coming down. He's talking to the basket maker, picking up all the baskets, looking at them, gives the basket maker a hug, and walks away. Now he gets to the beautiful beadwork. The little girl says, oh, I know for sure he's going to pick the beadwork. He's looking and he's just admiring it. It was so beautiful. He had to smile and he walked away. And he gets to the little girl. And he looks down and she sees this stick. He reaches down and picks up this stick. And he says, this is a very nice stick. Little girl nods her head. He says, Sungwadiso himself had given us medicine for our people. And the only thing you offer for trade is the stick. And little girl nods her head. He smiles, raises it up. And he says, Nyawango, Sungwadiso. He says, thank you, creator. He says, it is you. You are the one I shall trade this fine medicine for this fine stick. We are going to go have a great feast now. And after the feast, I'm going to take you and your family, and I'm going to teach you how to get this medicine, how to prepare the medicine, and how to give it to your people. Is there any questions you want to know before we do this? Little girl nods her head. He says, what's your question? She says, why did you pick this stick? He goes, oh, you see, I have gotten this medicine from the creator, from Sungwadiso. And for days, I did not know who to give it to. I prayed and I prayed. Oh, please, I don't know. I don't want to give it to the wrong person and they hoard it. I don't want to give it to the wrong person and they don't share it. Or they try to sell it. I don't want to do that. I just want to do the right thing. And I prayed and I prayed. And when I was getting ready to come here, I packed my bag. And in my bag, I put my clothes. And then in the middle, I put the medicine. And on the end, I put my peace pipe. As I was walking here, I prayed again. Please, please show me. Show me the one. And when I got here for the trade, the first thing I seen was the two beautiful horses. Oh, when I was a child, I wanted two horses. One that was all black and one that was painted white with brown patches, a painted pony. Oh, I wanted that. But this is medicine is not for my gain. And then when I got to the basket maker, I looked down. You see, my grandmother was a basket maker, and I know how much time one basket takes to make. She had so many baskets, and it filled my heart with joy to remember all those loving things of spending so much time with my grandmother and helping her with those baskets. But I did not pick the baskets because it's still not for me. Then I got to the beadwork, and it was close. I really wanted the beadwork. It was so beautiful. I had to hurry up and say no. And then when I got to you, and I seen this fine stick you offer, I remembered I packed my clothes, I packed the medicine and my pipe, but I did not pack the little stick I used to stir the tobacco in my pipe when I'm smoking it. So I knew you were the one I shall choose to have this medicine. Songwadiso has put you in my way. And that is the stick story.
That was a beautiful story. And that, again, is in your new book as well?
It's in the book. When I try to cheer people up at powwows and stuff, I get a stick, and I at the end, after I tell them the story, I will give it to people. It's a simple stick. It might not be much to some people, but it's a prized possession for others. And it's not necessarily the stick. It's the story that goes with it.
So Dennis, in our last minute, Let us know where we can get, where people can learn more about you. They can find you and follow you and get a hold of your book.
Oh, they can follow me on Facebook at Facebook.com/ Native American Storyteller. You can find me on Amazon for my book. You can either look for Dennis Claus or The Power of Effective Stories. And you can my website's going up right now. It's DennisClaus.com. That's DennisClaus. CLAUSE.com, and I will have the stick story on there in video for people to see.
Oh, it has been such a great honor to have you on, Dennis. It was so glad that you came and enlightened us with the story about how storytelling is effective for our businesses. Is there any last words you have for our listeners?
Oh, no, just thank you, and practice, practice, practice. That's all I ever say, is make sure people practice their stories.
That is key. And we do want to thank you all for listening. Dennis, we're going to let you go. We appreciate your time. You have a wonderful day.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Ona.
You're welcome. And we do thank you for joining us. And we hope you enjoy your day. That was Dennis Claus, Native American storyteller as well author, and his newly released book, The Power of Effective Stories. And we thank you for listening. And this is The Native Guy on Native Broadcast Network through the Blog Talk Radio Waves Network. Have a great day, ladies and gentlemen.